I don't know if you knew this, but the world of podcasting is massive. Hi, I'm Leah. I'm the host of CBC's Podcast Playlist. There is such a constant avalanche of new releases, it can be hard to keep up. Luckily, Podcast Playlist can help. Every week, we deep dive into the podcast world to find the most compelling stories. And every month, we'll give you a sneak peek into the hottest new releases so you can stay ahead. Tune in to Podcast Playlist on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I'm in New York, and it's April 2nd, which is my birthday. For pretty much my whole adult life, my mom used to call me at 7 in the morning on my birthday. Wake me up. Remind me, right about now, you were being born. But that doesn't happen for 7 or 8 years, and obviously it isn't happening this year. But it's fun being in New York, shopping around. I feel like she's kind of everywhere, just because we've been here so many times. And also, she actually is here in a bag in my pocket, because I brought some of her with me to leave here somewhere, maybe. Also, we just came out of seeing Sweeney Todd with Josh Groban, which is funny to me that even after she passed away, I've still managed to find a way to drag her to Sondheim shows. But it's Josh Groban, so she would have loved it. I'm Gavin Crawford. This is Let's Not Be Kidding. Episode 7, Good Grief.
Hi, Gavin.
Hi. How's it going?
Oh, it's so great.
Weirdly, we're both out the other side of
exactly. The
Alzheimer's strain in pretty close proximity to each other.
Very close proximity. We haven't had a huge catch up. So, you know, we've like texted a little bit.
There's been a little bit of texting.
Yeah.
A few inspirational J.R.R. Tolkien quotes.
Yes.
Flying back and forth. This is a bit of a conversation I had with my friend Aurora Brown of Baroness Von Sketch Show, who I had talked to earlier on this podcast. And weirdly, her dad actually passed away from Alzheimer's a couple of weeks after my mom did.
That's foolish.
I had to tape a Because News the night that my mom died at probably 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I had to come into work and tape 90 minutes of news comedy.
Oh my God.
And I was so show must go on.
Yeah.
Like I just turned into that.
Yeah.
Like, your favorite uncle died at dawn. Top of that, your mom parting. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. And I was like, I literally, everyone was like, well, you can't come and do the show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, you do not understand how much I have to come and do the show tonight.
Yeah.
Because what am I going to do? Sit here in a puddle of my own salty tears? Like,
yeah. I'd love to pretend not to be me.
Yes.
That would be great.
Please, give me a reason to pretend.
Yeah.
I'm like, pretending to feel a way that I don't is my whole existence. That's the entire thing I'm trained. This is the only thing
the
I'm literally trained to do.
Yes.
I feel a little checked out, which I was not expecting. I'm not like depressed really about it, but it's just, I don't feel like super engaged in the world right now. You know, the stupid things people say after people die, like, oh, the world's like a duller place without you. But then that's sort of really true. It's weird. It's a weird time. Not as weird as the immediate aftermath, I will say. The immediate aftermath was something I was not prepared for. Because this is what they don't tell you. It's what they can't tell you is that you're gonna feel happy. Alzheimer's is so terrible at the end that you're just like, at least they're not that anymore. Like, they're not trapped inside of themselves, not being themselves anymore. And there's this crazy overwhelming of fly free, little bird. At first you think, oh, am I just kidding myself to make myself feel better about this? And then you think I must be, because you don't want to feel good about it, but you genuinely feel good about it. And I talked to every member of my family, and everyone felt a little bit bad for feeling a little bit good.
I've had an interesting experience because it's been 2 months now, and I've only just realized that it was 2 months, because I said to my brother the other day, Mom died like over a month ago. He goes, 2 months, Scott.
This is Scott Thompson of Kids in the Hall of Fame, who also lost his mom to dementia. She passed away just a few months before we recorded this interview.
I didn't fall apart, but I did put a lot of things on hold, like emails. I just decided I'm not going to answer any of these things for a while. And it just went on and on until I went, oh my God, I've let everything back up. But I didn't collapse into grief or tears or immobility or anything like that. And that kind of, I went, shouldn't I be more devastated? But the truth is, I'd been mourning her for years. Like, she died years ago. And of course, this is the real thing, but there is a relief. And that's the hard part. That's the most difficult thing, is you have to cope with the fact that you're relieved. It's not just about you having it easier. You don't want them in that state. You don't want them to be miserable.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I can think so many things, but I don't know if she's scared all the time.
Yeah,
I don't
scared
know what she knows. Like, I don't even care if she's sad.
Yeah.
I just don't scared. Want her to be scared.
Yeah, my mom was scared. Scared and sad, lonely. Because every time I'd leave, she'd cry. And the last time I saw her, about a week before she died, she didn't even open her eyes. She'd gone that far. Because, you know, dementia. My mother didn't have Alzheimer's. She had dementia. Mm-hmm. But she had gone to the point where she couldn't feed herself. She couldn't drink. She could barely open her eyes. She could not speak at all. She basically became reduced to like a little girl who looks like an old lady. Doll, not even an actual old lady, an old lady doll, like an Apple doll, and who just, you enter a room and all she would do is kiss. She just wanted to kiss. So all the nurses and care workers, she would see them and she would just grab their faces and kiss them. That's all she wanted to do, was kiss people, which I thought was kind of beautiful. And go, when you see your mother reduced to her essence is love. And that was wonderful to re. It's interesting now, she's more alive than she was the last few years, because now I can picture her in all the different times of her life. And I can picture her in her prime, when she was raising us, when we were like at home, and in her 50s, in her 60s, in her 40s, you know what I mean? Her prime years, when she was a phenomenal character, a phenomenal woman, this force of nature. And she's more alive to me now. When I think of my mother now, I picture her when she sent me off to university, or I picture her when her sister would visit. You know, I picture her when she would say, Scott, there's a Sidney Poitier movie on TV. Let's watch it. That was our thing. She loved Sidney Poitier. So if there was a Sidney Poitier movie on, we would watch it. And,
well, you love Sidney Poitier.
Well, too. I love Sidney Poitier. Maybe that's my love of black men with British accents.
Don't say you didn't get nothing from your mom. It's weird when you lose a parent to Alzheimer's, because some of your feelings seem inappropriate. Like, you feel bad, but then you also, in a weird way, feel good. And then you worry, like, am I grieving enough? Like, I found myself thinking, like, is this it? Like, am I okay? I guess I'm okay. And you think for a while, like, you kind of got off scot-free. That's what I sort of thought, like, up until, like, maybe last week, you know, where I'm I'm sort of like, well, you know what? I've done this podcast. I've really talked about my mom. I've sort of processed this like slow grieving, because you are grieving. And then I was like, maybe I've kind of done it. Like, maybe that's all that's left is the relief. You know, you've done each marker. Like, you're like, I can't talk to her on the phone anymore. I can't talk to her in person anymore. She doesn't have words anymore. She can't go for a drive with me anymore. You lose things inch by inch. It's like pulling strands out of a sweater until there's no sweater left. And then you think like, okay, well, I've been missing that sweater for such a long time. I'm probably not really going to miss it. But now I'm starting to feel the grief beyond relief.
I laughed a lot, which I needed, and you know, you need that.
It's amazing how much you need to laugh.
Yeah,
at things.
Yeah.
So, scrolling forward. Did you have a funeral? Did you have all those preparations in hand and everything?
We put together a service. We decided that we all wanted to speak. We kind of divided it up by subject because he was a multifaceted guy. We got music involved because he loved live music and supported live music. My nephew sang a song. We talked about him as a dad, his struggles with mental health, his history, and I talked about him in sailing, because he and I had done so much sailing. And at the end, we blew a blast on the horn from his boat, because a 6-second blast is how you signal a boat is leaving or arriving.
Oh.
And so the whole, like, the Frodo thing, you know, like sailing over a swift sunrise.
It's like, I'm getting teared up, this thing, because it's like boats, something about boats sailing to the white shores. That was the only thing that was keeping me going. It's just that no, this is like,
oh,
that
yeah.
little speech, this is not the end. This is when the gray rain curtain pulls back and then you see it.
Yeah.
In case you're not a giant nerd, those words of comfort come from Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. I think they're also in the book somewhere, but not in the exact same way. But in the movie, Pippin and Gandalf are about to face the final war. And Pippin says, I didn't think it would end this way. And Gandalf says, end? No. It doesn't end here. The gray rain curtain of this world pulls back and all turns to silver glass. And then you see it. White shores. And beyond, a far green country.
Hi, I'm Pat Kelly.
And I'm Peter Oldring, and we're the hosts of This Is That.
Are you kidding?
For over a decade, we were radio's go-to source for completely fabricated news.
You must be joking me.
And now, we're back in podcast form.
We've selected some of our favorite stories from over the years and put them in one convenient location.
Sugar in the tap water.
Bilingual dog park. Charging to see wildlife.
This Is That, coming soon on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
I have some questions for you, too. I wondered what happened to you physically afterwards. Because, I'll tell you why, because on one hand, I fell apart, like my fingers are cracking, it was stressful, I was working, you know, like all these kind of stressful things. But on the other hand, I started feeling immediately better, because the amount of my mana, you know, my life meter was being siphoned off constantly just by the worry, just knowing something might happen. And once that was done, I felt like, oh my God, like I'm filling up again with like some endorphins. How have you been? How's your body?
Weirdly, I immediately got more handsome. like quite startlingly, a lot more handsome. Initially I had like grief relief.
Uh-huh.
And then it took about a month. And then I had a weird kind of numbness.
Yeah.
Which I think I'm sort of pulling out of ish now.
Right.
But I mean, I was cracking jokes even at the, literally at the interment. Like, we had this like lovely celebration of life. We planned it all. It was lovely. We had our paintings. Yeah. Very, people came. It was very nice. And then we got to the thing the next day and we had this little urn full of ashes because we're putting the cremains on top of her parents' graves. And then all of our names are written on the back of the grave.
Ew, that is weird.
And with just like our birthday and then a dash.
Oh my God.
So it's just there waiting like a weird maw. And we had to like, we had a very weird moment. Like we're sitting in the cemetery with like the person and being like, okay, well, what section do you want to open up? Like, are you putting on top of her dad or her mom? And then we have to have this weird conversation. We're like, who did she like more? You know what I mean? Like with me and my sisters, and we're like, I think she'd probably want to be in her dad, but we're like, daughters kind of want to be in that, or is that misogynist? We didn't like, and we're having this all these weird, and they like, she's literally drawing tic-tac-toe like on a map of my grandparents' grave, being like, you got A, B, C, D, there's seven slots, one for each of you.
It's a Sudoku.
And then, and then, you know, we're sitting there with my distraught dad, you know, and he's like, I don't know, I guess if you put her in number two, and I guess I'll take number one. And like, you're trying not to laugh, but it's so absurd.
I found very odd that they bury the urn, like that they make a tiny little hole and then put, why? Like, why do you even need, I guess you need a place?
That's Kyle Tingley, whose shoulders must be pretty sore from having me lean on them, especially during that particularly weird week.
It seems so silly to do that. You could just keep her on the mantle or something. You don't need to put her in the ground. But anyway, there's a little hole.
There was a bit of a conundrum because half the people wanted the ashes to just stay unmolested in the little nice urn. And some of us, meaning me, was like, I am 100% taking some of these to New York or various places around the world because I'm like, my mom is in New York. My mom is in all the places that we traveled. And I'm like, it's symbolic. I know. But I said that to myself. I'm like, you know what? It's already mixed up with pine or whatever box they did. Like, this is not, it's not a pure thing. And also, mom doesn't want to stay in the ground in Lethbridge, Alberta. She didn't like it. She doesn't like the wind. So I'm like, we got to travel this. But then every day, all day, the next day, all of my siblings and a couple of like sort of very close family friends, Kyle and I were staying in the trailer in the driveway. And they kept knocking on the trailer door and being like, can I get a little scoop?
So then Gavin, I just see, what's Gavin doing? He's going, he's sneaking into the camper, truck camper with someone. And then I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, I had to give some of Donna to, oh, I shouldn't even say the name because everyone will be really mad if they know, I think that. So he just snuck in to like divide Donna up a little bit. I don't know. It's so weird. But yeah, he's just sneaking off to scoop her into a baggie. She's in a baggie in her bedroom.
It was supposed to just be my sisters and brother and my dad at the gravesite. And we were going to just inter the little vase into the thing. And I don't know why I thought someone would have thought of something to say or do that wasn't me. But I kind of felt like I, like, you know, I did my due diligence at the memorial event the night before. And so I was kind of just like not prepared to do anything other than just like watch the thing get put in the ground. But then, of course, because it's my mom and everyone liked my mom, like we get to the gravesite and there's 50 people there. There's like friends, there's my dad's brothers and sisters, all my aunts and uncles, cousins. It's a huge event and we've planned nothing.
There's nothing happening. We're all at the graveyard and no one's in charge, kind of. And then Keith didn't really get up and say anything. He just kind of nudged Gavin and said, okay, get up there and say things. And Gav's like, what? And he's really upset because it's like the final end.
You know, we're just standing there and then my dad's like, just say something. And I'm like, I can't, because like now I can't talk because now it's like, it feels final. It feels like a final goodbye. So I have to go up and be like, thanks everyone for coming. This is what we're doing. And then my dad sidles up to me again and is like, okay, no, grab your sisters and put that thing in the ground. And I'm like, you're killing me, old man.
Like, why do you have loud. To announce to everybody what the arrangement is?
I know. And then I'm like, so then I look at my sisters and they all immediately look at the ground. Mm-hmm. I think my one sister, Reagan, came up like to help me. And then we're like, where's the bag? Because there was like a velvet bag with straps that you had to like
a
lower.
A velvet bag?
Yeah, it's like a velvet bag that goes around the urn.
Oh.
And then my brother's like, it's in the car. And then so we're all standing there just awkwardly while he runs back to the truck to get the velvet bag. And then I'm like lowering the thing into the ground, like not knowing at all what to say because we hadn't really prepped anything.
To that moment, yeah.
And then everyone, like the little kids, like there was some roses and from the flower arrangements the night before. So all the little kids are like throwing roses into the hole. And then we're just standing there and I'm like, okay, I guess now, in honor of Mom, we're all going to go over to the bay and just browse for 2 hours and not buy a fucking thing.
Oh, my God, I love
it. It's like
that.
Really cut the tension.
And then they're like, okay, let's all have a photo around the grave. It's like, what? And now one with the kid. Like, it was like a wedding photos around the gravestone. I'm like, what is happening? Is this how, does this happen? Is this what people do? What are you going to look at this photo for? Like, I it's like, I don't want to see this photo ever again.
Like, we're like, this is instead of fucking grad ceremony. But anyways, I'm trying to keep my cool, but I'm on the verge of just like, you know, everything bubbling up. And then I just like go and stand behind a tree. And then I realize like I cannot be there for one more second. And I just grab Kyle and I'm like, get in the car, drive, drive. But it was nice. I mean, the weirdest thing was, you always say, like, we always were like, oh, yeah, our mom is, like, mother to the world. Like, we kept having to say in the eulogy, like, you know, she was a mom to us, but, like, also to a number of people. But the number of people who kind of came up and would just be like, I don't know if you know this, but, like, you know, your mom's the one that got me out of my first abusive relationship. She drove to Edmonton you know, hustled me out of the house in the middle of the night. Or, you know, someone would be like, oh, I don't know if you know this, but your mom was the one that took me to rehab. Or, I don't know if you know this, but, like, your mom bailed me out of jail, like, 3 times. And, like, that happened, like, such a number of times. Like, I'm not saying she was a saint, but she was definitely, like, the person people would go to when they couldn't tell anybody else what was going on. And she was pretty good at keeping it a secret because I didn't know. I started to be expecting someone to come up and be like, I don't know if you know this, but like your mom and I buried a body. Your mom's the one that helped me murder my abusive husband. We put him in the trunk and drove him to the lake. I mean, last time we were talking, you kind of very eloquently described your dad and what was happening with him as a pointless painting.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of painting is he to you now?
Oh, that is a really good... I guess he's back to being a complete painting. He's not even a painting anymore. He's everywhere. He's sailing somewhere, is what I think of it. So he's together and he's 3D and he's out doing what he loves. My dad I've tucked him into so many other places in the world. Because of sailing, I've tucked him into the weather and the sky. So pretty much anytime the wind blows, I do think of my dad because I think of sailing. And I can just think about him like standing on the boat, steering the boat.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's the same thing for me with my mom because she's not in a place like I can just think of her everywhere. Like even yesterday, yeah. I was filling the car up with gas and I just like, I don't know, all of a sudden just started thinking about my mom. And then I was just like, oh, I can just say hi. So then I just was like standing at the gas pump and I was like, I just kind of looked up at the sky a little bit and was like, hey, Mom.
Yeah.
And then weirdly, just as I did that, I looked up and there was like this tree, and then a gust of wind blew and the tree branch kind of like went up and down. And my mom always used to like tell people like, oh, if you're missing someone, just look at a tree because that's them waving at you.
Aww.
And the tree was just like waving, and I knew a blizzard was coming. So, yeah. But there was a part of me that was like, so I just like, I waved at the tree and it made me have a little smile.
Yeah.
And then I got back in the car and Kyle was like, what are you smiling at? And I was like, literally nothing. You don't want to know.
Yeah. I guess your mom's like Ben Kenobi.
Yeah.
She's become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Yeah. At the beginning of this, I was sort of asking the question, like, why am I even doing this? Like,
yeah.
Partly I was like, well, I want to talk. I need to talk about it just as a steam valve release.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, who is this for? Who cares? Like, oh, sure, come and be sad about someone you don't even know. But then I was like, so I started to think of it as like an FAQ or like a walkthrough,
right?
Video game walkthroughs.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you're playing a game and then you're just like, I wonder if anyone else had trouble with this part.
Yes. And you go online, there's 1,000 videos.
And there's like 1,000 people
guys,
being like,
here's my run through of level A.
It's like, oh my God, this wall is so frustrating. Like, is anyone else having trouble getting up this wall?
Everybody's having trouble. I just try to look at life now as the same way that the feelings in Inside Out would look at the wall of little moments of Riley's day. And like, if you had more joy than the other ones, that was a good day. And I've been reading The Silmarillion and thinking about The Silmarillion a lot and about Tolkien and what he says about like the gift of death that elves don't have. Elves are, they're immortal unless you kill them, but even then they get to persist in spirit form. But they don't know what happens to humans because they just die. They don't go to the halls of Mandos. But there's the bittersweet quality of that is actually a gift, that life can be sweeter when it's in smaller bits, and we have this very small bit. And so I just kind of committed to like making it sweet every moment, and telling my sisters that I love them, and doing work that I enjoy, because we could get hit by a bus tomorrow, or we could catch COVID tomorrow,
or we could slowly, very, very slowly over the process of a number of years. Begin to forget everything we've ever known.
Exactly. So I better enjoy it now.
I'll take the bus.
I'd take the bus as well.
I was gonna say, like, if it's an option, I'd take the bus.
Well,
I don't know if I need to say anything.
Well, I don't know if you need to say anything. I'm just like, are you gonna do it?
Yeah. Yeah, hold this.
Okay.
I can't open it.
Don't.
I didn't put it at the root of this tree. Just a little bit.
Okay. There you go.
Now you're part of a tree. Well.
Oh my God, your hands are filthy.
I washed them. Well, we've dropped Mom off somewhere in New York in an undisclosed location for legal reasons. But it's somewhere where I know where it is. And it's near shops.
Everywhere's near shops.
That's why she would like it. If I asked her if she wanted to stay in Southern Alberta or rather we take some of her to New York, I know exactly
well,
what she'd
York,
say.
Of course.
Southern Alberta has its charms, but, let's not be kidding. See you around. Implausibly, I think I finally have run out of things to say. So I guess just let me say this. I want to give a huge heartfelt thanks to everybody who spoke to me for this podcast. Jan Arden, Scott Thompson, Aurora Brown, Frank Webb, Rachel Matlow, Nora McClellan, JP LaRocque, Carrie Sackney, David Carroll, my amazing producer, Dr. Sharon Cohen, of course my dad, Keith Crawford, my sister Regan, and all my other siblings for contributing in ways that aren't necessarily on tape. And of course, my rock of the last 30 years, Kyle Tingley. And I want to thank every one of you who listened to these 7 episodes. I hope that they were fun or at least helpful. And if not, I don't know, I guess just forget they ever happened. You've been listening to Let's Not Be Kidding from CBC Podcasts. The show is written and hosted by me, Gavin Crawford. David Carroll is my story editor, producer, and sound designer. Emily Cannell is our digital coordinating producer. Original music by William Lamoureux. Our senior producer is Damon Fairless. Our podcast art was designed by Tara Paquette. Cross-promo producer, Amanda Cox. Our video producer is Evan Igard. Audio mastering was done by the master, Pete Morey. Special thanks to Elizabeth Bowie, Betty Burke, and Shauna Watson. Executive producers, Cecil Fernandez and Chris Oak. Tanya Springer is our senior manager. Arif Nirani is the director, and Leslie Merklinger is the executive director of CBC Podcasts. If you've been enjoying hearing my voice, but you'd like to not hear the sad parts, I have another podcast. Let's not be kidding. It's called Because News. Because News is a weekly quiz show all about the headlines. Yes, a recent headline from the Globe and Mail reads, 9 in 10 parents are helping their adult kids financially.
Wait, why aren't my parents paying my...
Ha ha, you got the one.
Oh, really?
You can find Because News on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.